show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past, present, and future.
High fly ball. Motley going back to the track. No outs to go. The Royals have won the 1985 World Series.
Davis comes to the plate. Strike three called. It's over. They've done it. The Royals are World Series champions. The world champion Kansas City Royals.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the Kansas City Baseball Vault, brought to you by Kelly's Westport Inn, a Baseball Prospectus affiliate. Folks, I don't know if there's a whole we're still kind of in that lull period, so we've got kind of a smorgasbord of topics, if you will, that we'll just kind of be bouncing around talking about things that have made the news, whether consequential or less consequential. We'll just kind of give a grab bag of topics, if you will. So that'll be where we go for this show. Before we get into those, of course, I am Jeff Herr, and with me, as always, the undeterred Michael Engel. Mike, how are you doing on this unseasonably warm evening? Well, it's starting to get to March, so it's
we're almost seasonal. Seasonable.
it's still a little high, I think, but you know, it's not. March is usually in the 60s and such, so one of the mildest winters I can recall. But
yeah,
which is nice because I personally hate cold weather. I hate snow.
I don't mind if it's cold, but I hate snow if I have to go anywhere. If I don't have to go anywhere, pfft, go for it. Snow all you want, but yeah, if I gotta go to work, pfft, no, thank you.
I personally hate all forms of precipitation.
That's so fair. That's totally fair.
I'm equal opportunity hater of precipitation.
I understand it. It makes sense.
There we go. Indeed it does, at least in my world. So first thing I want to talk about, Mike, this week, one of the things that's kind of made the news in kind of a fun aspect, if you will, the World Baseball Classic. I want to talk about this because I personally, I'm just going to say it, I hate it. Maybe a little strong. Maybe a little too strong. I don't know that I hate it, but I could not be less interested. Sometimes I feel bad. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I'm a baseball fan, but – and this is kind of where baseball differs a little bit. And football is the only real sport that's like this for me, where – I will sit down and watch it even if my team is not playing, you know. And I think baseball is the complete opposite end of that spectrum, where the regionality really factors in. So if it's not the Royals, you know, less people care. Most people aren't going to sit and watch a, you know, Cincinnati Reds Pittsburgh Pirates baseball game, you know.
So
you're maybe you're doing some projects and you want something on in the background, sure. But like appointment television, you know, very few people will make another game that's not either their team's appointment television. But yeah. So I guess it goes kind of counter to that point with the World Baseball Classic, because with the, you know, being different nations, there should be that kind of nation aspect to it, that Olympic World Cup type feel that kind of galvanizes everyone to get behind everything. But you know, baseball is so diverse from a global standpoint as far as the players that we have. Maybe hockey is the only other sport that really comes close in terms of diversity. NBA is kind of getting there. Football is definitely nowhere close. It's pretty much all Americans. But so the fact that the majority of people, their favorite players are not even going to be playing for the American team. So look at who's easily the most popular player in Kansas City, Salvador Perez, right?
Yep.
He's playing for Venezuela.
Yep.
Alcides Escobar, very popular. He's playing for Venezuela.
Venezuela stopped the Royals in spring training today too.
Yes.
Like 11-0.
That is a fantastic roster.
That's a good lineup. Yeah. Good.
I would pick that team in. If it were in the major leagues right now. But so, you know, and then Kelvin Herrera's playing for Dominican Republic, right?
I don't know. He's not. He's Soria's with Mexico.
Soria's with Mexico.
So that's the only Duffy isn't with the U.S.
Well, Herrera's pitched in the past, though, hasn't he?
I think so. I don't remember. I mean, they do it every 4 years, and I don't remember. I know Hosmer was on Team USA 4 years ago because he didn't do very well in the World Baseball Classic. I don't remember off the top of my head. I'm pretty sure Herrera probably did pitch somewhere. You know,
regardless,
make sense.
I mean, if you think about all the popular players, like for the Royals specifically, you know, Lorenzo Cain would play for the U.S. and Hosmer would play for the U.S. and Moose would, but you know, Escobar, Salvi, you know, they're not playing for the U.S. And you know, if Herrera were to pitch, he wouldn't be pitching for the U.S. If your Donna Ventura was still alive, you know, he wouldn't have been playing for the U.S. if he were to play. So it's kind of weird how it feels that way, where, you know, most people, all their favorite players are going to be all strewn about. Like if you're Detroit, right? And
yeah.
How many kids are their favorite player is Miguel Cabrera, because they've grown up with him as just dominating everything. Of course, rightfully so. He's playing for Venezuela.
No, you got to root for Venezuela. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then it feels weird because you're rooting against your own country. You know, it just feels strange. So it doesn't really feel like it grabs that nationalistic kind of sports. It doesn't galvanize that side of the sports fan for me. Also, I don't know why I haven't looked it up. Maybe I should if I'm going to get this worked up about it, but I don't know that I care that much either. But it seems the rules of who can play for what team or what nation are rather loose, right? So
they're not let's just say they're a little more accepting than some –
say World Cup or something.
Some presidential administrations too.
Hey-oh, there we go.
Anyway –
So for instance, our friend David Leskey told us that I was unaware of this, but apparently if you are born Jewish, you can apply for and are granted automatic citizenship to the state of Israel, who has a team competing in the World Baseball Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently they're very, very into baseball in Israel. I had no clue about that either.
It seems like there's some popularity there, but it's just not a big program. So what you see on that Team Israel are a lot of baseball players who are Jewish going to that role, which they're having a blast. Like, they're a really fun team. Just because they're just kind of living it up, and they've already won two of their games. So they're kind of the phenom of this World Baseball Classic, where it is mostly like American players, but they do have that – they are Jewish. And so they have that eligibility to become citizens, and so that qualifies them to play. And it, like you brought up, we were talking about Johnny Damon before the show here. And Johnny Damon – played for like Thailand 1 year because his mother was from Thailand. Eric Hosmer theoretically could
ask to play for Cuba.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go.
So, I mean, that's pretty much what it seems like. As long as you're eligible to be a citizen somehow in that country, you could be playing for that country. Drew Butera is playing for Italy, you know?
And you know, it's weird too, because it feels like, so I have a really large family, and you know, we have a lot of Germanic, I guess you would say, German roots. A lot of people are from are from Germany. So, you know, when it comes to like World Cup and stuff, you know, if USA is out, which happens quite often,
kind of is the thing. Yeah,
Germany is my default team, but you know, if USA is playing Germany, which happened in 2002, I remember that was just a really great game. I remember I had my mom wake me up early to watch it when I was in high school. Or had a friend, he stayed over the night so we could get up early and watch the game because we were both really into soccer at the time. But beside the point, but America was playing Germany, and we were both obviously rooting for, you know, America. And but it feels like, say I was a baseball player, right? A professional baseball. It's not that hard to believe, right? Me, a professional
baseball player.
But it almost feels like people who are in that situation, whereas if you were playing for, you know, Team USA for the World Cup or something for the Olympics, it would be a huge, huge decision, and it would probably feel pretty wrong to not play for America. Mm-hmm. But it feels almost like a lot of these, you know, American, if you will, players that, you know, maybe they have a – like an Eric Hosmer or, like you said, a Johnny Damon or something like that. You know, those types of players who, I mean, let's be honest, they're just Americans. You know, it's –
Right. They're born in America. You know, they're naturalized American citizens.
You know, there's no their parent. I'm sure they're, you know, culturally they have, you know, wherever one of their parents may be from, you know, they have that aspect in their lives. But it almost feels like, hey, you know, I'm just this will be fun. I'm just going to go play for this other team that's not America. You know, it feels like that's way more common for this World Baseball Classic, mm-hmm. which almost to me feels like the players themselves are taking it less seriously, and they're kind of going out to have fun. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to try and present this as some sort of like World Cup equivalent for baseball, but then this is the kind of thing you have going on, it's like it just makes it feel a little disingenuous to me. And I don't know. I could care less. It just does not does not garner any sort of desire to watch it or follow it or anything for me, as much as I enjoy baseball. But
yeah. So, like, it's baseball, so I'll watch it. Mm-hmm. But there is a certain point, like, here's just to illustrate my kind of perspective on it. Like, on Monday, there was the matchup on MLB Network of Israel against Chinese Taipei, which, you know, whatever, totally random
teams. Is that different than Chinese Type B? Hey-o.
Boy. The jokes are free, everybody.
Jokes are free. That's right. I know it's Taipei and not Type A.
Right.
It sounds funny.
It was a fun little game. I mean, it was a lot of offense, a lot of hard hit balls, not a lot of defense, but it was, you know, it was a lot of base runners, a lot of stuff happening. But, you know, last night, there was a game, China versus Cuba, which is a much more interesting matchup, I think. I think anytime Cuba plays is kind of interesting. And I really only watched until Bruce Chen was done pitching. And then I was like, all right, that's fine. I can go do other things. And I'll watch, you know, Team USA. I'll watch when they're playing just to kind of see, you know, especially with like Duffy's going to be pitching on Sunday. Interested to at least see what Hosmer does. I'll probably watch Venezuela because that's a fun team. You know, I'll watch it as it comes up, but at the same time, I would almost rather just watch like a late spring training game where you've got the regulars playing six or seven innings and you're starting to get into almost that feel of real baseball. Right. You know, if I have the option, I'll probably be watching that more so than the World Baseball Classic. It maybe when it gets to the semifinals and the finals, I'll change my mind and take a little more interest. But yeah, it's a kind of thing where it's like the stakes of it, they're not quite at a, well, that's an understatement. It's not the World Cup of baseball. It's not the Olympics. You were going to ask who won the last one?
Right.
No clue. I don't know. Dominican Republic?
People don't know. I feel like Dominican is—they've won at least two of them, I think, haven't they?
They win
the first two. I don't even know.
I have no idea. I mean, I just don't know. So, I mean, that's what it. I mean, to be fair, I don't know who won the last World Cup either. Brazil,
Germany.
Well, there you go. You would know that. my family's German too, so that's, you know.
If you were to pull, like, take a global poll, you know.
Oh yeah.
How many people know that Germany won the World Cup? It would be an overwhelming majority of the world because soccer is so popular.
Soccer is huge, yeah.
Even as popular as baseball is, and of the four major sports in America, baseball is the one that's probably got the most global recognition. If you ask people around the world, I bet you, you know, less than 40% would know who won the World Baseball Classic, where I would say, you know, probably closer to 70, 75% would know who won the last World Cup.
Yeah, it seems fair. It looks like the Dominican Republic beat Puerto Rico for the championship in 2013. And in 2009, Japan beat South Korea.
Interesting.
No idea.
Common theme there.
Daisuke Matsuzaka was the MVP of the 2009 World Baseball Classic. They did it in 2006, but I don't remember it being that big of a deal then. He was the MVP in 2006 as well, as Japan beat Cuba.
Dice K was?
Yeah.
Wow. Reigning MVP. That's interesting.
I had no idea about any of that. So
nor did I. A little, there's your history lesson today. That is also free.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, the thing, I guess it happens at the best possible time because you're getting guys as they're starting to get ready for the season. But at the same time, I'd really rather Danny Duffy was in Royals camp. I'd rather Sal Perez was catching Travis Wood and Jason Hamill and Mike Minor and guys that he hasn't really worked that much with. You know, I'd rather those guys were around. And then, you know, there's always the issue of maybe someone gets hurt. You know, it would be terrible if Eric Hosmer hurt himself sliding in the World Baseball Classic. You know, it's bad
head
enough.
Head first slide into first base.
Yeah, if they get hurt in a spring training game, that's bad. You know, that sucks. But if it happens in just like an exhibition during exhibition season where they're not even with their own team, that's even worse. So, you know, I get it that baseball is going to want to grow the game, and it is kind of cool to see the rosters and see like a lineup with Jose Altuve and Miguel Cabrera and guys like that, and you know, all together, Sal Perez in the same lineup. That's fun, but at the same time, it's like, you know, the novelty wears pretty thin for me, and the things that I'd rather see are, you know, I want to see the guys in camp. I want to see them all together and doing the regular work that they do the other 3 years out of the cycle. And I'd rather see that than, you know, worry about the World Baseball Classic. So, yeah, air more spring training games. I'll watch those. I'll watch some World Baseball Classic, but it's just like it's not the same, and I don't know if it's as productive for the purpose of this kind of season. So I'm not a fan. I don't hate it. I'm not indifferent towards it. I just – you know, my interest is going to basically pass this round. It's just going to be like, what's the matchup? Is there any Royal?
Like a check the box score type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll look at it. I'll check it out and see. Like, I was watching Bruce Chen last night, and that was interesting because he's retired.
Yes.
And he was pitching in loafers, it looked like. So it was weird, but, you know, that's just kind of what it was. So I'm not a huge fan, but I'll watch it, especially if there's nothing else on, you know. But, yeah, I'm in the same kind of boat where it's like I don't really care who wins. I mean, U.S. wins, great. If they don't, whatever. I don't, you know, I don't want to say I don't care, but I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing why it's hard to get, like, too worked up about it because, you know, normally – I think the issue would be, okay, specifically someone like Salvador Perez, who's overworked as it is during the season, you know, taking additional reps in additional games is not something you want to see. But just like you said, given that it's an exhibition during exhibition season, I mean, the only possible issue is that, you know, he's not constantly being monitored by Royal staff and trainers and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, maybe the Venezuelan coaching staff allows him to, you know, or do something that the Royals would say, you know, hey, don't do that, and something happens. I mean, that's just an extreme
hey,
scenario.
That.
Yeah, that's an extreme scenario of something that I doubt would occur, so it's not too big of a concern. But, you know, if it was like, hey, let's do this in December, you know, it's like the season just ended, and then they're supposed to be resting, and then you want Salvador Perez to play, you know, say Venezuela makes a championship, was that 10 games? I don't even know how many games. I don't know how they do the structure.
I think they do 4 games in pool play, and then they go into maybe up to 3. I don't know if they do round robin. I don't know. I mean, that's the other thing. I don't ever end up paying enough attention that I follow what the rules are. So I don't know. I'll be reminded as this one proceeds, I suppose.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well. So anyway, so that was it for that. I mentioned that just because especially the last few days, and now that kind of stuff has kind of kicked up, you know, there's Royals Twitter account and everything have posted pictures of Salvador Perez and Miguel Cabrera's Venezuela jersey and, you know, and his Venezuela jersey and the Venezuela roster today, you know, as they played against the Royals and such. So, you know, those kind of grabbed a few headlines this week. So that's why we led off the top with that. But, you know, the other part of that that's still going on is, of course, spring training. And just with as we sort of kind of talked about so far, in the off season and just every year. There's little storylines that, you know, and it seems like this is a good recurring theme we've had the last couple of years, that the huge questions for the Royals, whereas, you know, 2005, 2006, every question was huge. Like, who's going to play for this team? We don't know the answer.
Literally, but, who's going to do
it? Yeah, seriously. But, you know, the last 3 or 4 years, they've had a roster where, you know, roughly 20 of the 25 guys were completely set, and then 3 of the other 5 guys were pretty well set, and there was only, you know, a spot or two that was truly up for grabs. So, you know, I feel like that's the way it's been the last couple of years. It's a good problem to have, but it makes kind of spring training a little bit more boring than maybe it used to be. So we talked couple shows ago, I think, about the legend of Peter O'Brien, and the legend of Peter O'Brien has now become the tragedy Peter O'Brien. As I think since mentioning on this show, I don't know that he has made contact with the baseball since. I think he's struck out like 87 times.
Yeah,
it feels like
homers and he just stopped hitting.
Yeah, I made those Pedro Serrano comparisons, and it feels like, okay, everyone was like, first week of spring training, just throw fastballs as pitcher is, just get used to the feel, getting out, getting the rhythm. And yeah. So he was just teeing off on all these fastballs, and then they're like, okay, let's mix in some breaking balls, kind of like in the scene in Major League when they're like, oh, throw some breaking balls. And now all of a sudden, like, everyone's like, oh, that's why this guy is nowhere. So it's kind of weird, because it's almost like, hey, this 26-year-old dude who's never spent any appreciable time in the major leagues, maybe there's a reason for that.
Right.
Nothing against Peter O'Brien, but
yeah, I hope he does well.
It'd be awesome if he could, you know, hit 40 home runs for this team.
I think you just wait past the first week of spring training to anoint somebody with anything.
Yes.
So, you know, but you know, maybe he'll pick it up. Maybe he'll just be streaky. He was catching today in the later part of the game, which, I mean, he caught in the Yankees and the Diamondbacks.
Catcher,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he just really wasn't good. And he's really big, too. It's like Sal Perez is the rare big catcher who can kind of stick there, and even then in a couple of years he may not. So we'll have to see how that proceeds and how that develops. But O'Brien's a big dude. He's 6'4", 235. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's big. That's a big guy to be wearing the gear all the time. And, you know, he wasn't very good at it, and that's why he got moved into left field and first base and moved around a little bit there. And, you know, it's maybe that's just because Butera is gone. He's in the WBC for at least one round, and Sal's going to be out while he's with Venezuela. And if they go the distance, he's going to be out of the lineup for a while. So maybe O'Brien's going to have to catch a little bit and show some of that flexibility while the Royals try to keep bodies in camp and still have to play out the games. But if he's doing that, I don't know if that's going to mean that his hitting suffers, or maybe this is just a couple innings and just doesn't, you know, go anywhere else. But that was kind of interesting to see. But yeah, the shine went off the apple pretty quick.
Yeah, that didn't last very long, did it?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Well, maybe he'll pick it up, but I don't know. I mean, I would figure at this point you would still expect to see him in Omaha to start the year. And that's probably the best spot for him. He'll get at-bats there, and the Royals can figure out if he's actually going to be able to hit pro pitching and high-level pro pitching, or if they're going to run into the same problem where you've got this guy with this awesome power who really can't tap into it.
Yes, and now that you mention it, speaking of Omaha, the Royals gave Omaha a few more citizens today, or multiple minor league teams. So they announced today they reassigned 8 players to minor league camp. Those players include Jonathan Zizek. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but we'll go with it.
I think it's right.
Is it right? Good. Good for me.
Zizek.
Luke Farrell. Well, moving on. Luke Farrell, Eric Skoglund, Josh Stalmont, who we've talked about a little bit, who's got kind of a little bit of buzz coming around him. Xavier Fernandez, Chase Vallett, who I believe Clint Scholes likes Chase Vallett a little bit, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Or did at one point.
He definitely
does.
Did. Vallet was one of those guys who was drafted like as a 17-year-old, and the track record on those guys can sometimes be pretty good because if they're advanced enough at 17 to be a big prospect out of the draft, then what happens when they grow up and mature and get some professional training?
It was Rainey Gizzarelli, wasn't it, that did a huge article with just a ton of research and data about that, and in response to the drafting of Bubba Starling as a 19-year-old.
Yeah, in the same year that Francisco Lindor was drafted.
Yes.
Where you see where those guys are.
Yes. Again, moving on, rounding out the list of players, Alfredo Escalera, Corey Toops, and finally Kyle Zimmer, who was moved to AA Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah.
So any surprises in there for you? Was that about what you would expect for the first major kind of wave of send downs?
Well, the guys like Escalera and Toops and Vallet, those guys are so young that this was kind of their – they got their invite. They got their feet wet. They weren't going to stick at all. Guys like Skoglund, there was a little bit of buzz on him over the winter of, okay, well, maybe he would crack the – maybe he would crack this bullpen or something somehow. And then the Royals went and signed Peter Moylan and Seth Maness and Travis Wood and Jason, signed all these guys. Zjek is kind of in that AA, AAA spot, so that's not too surprising. Farrell was getting into a lot of games in spring training. I wouldn't be too surprised to see him as maybe a spot start call-up, you know, if they end up with an open roster spot or something, just to kind of fill things out if they get in a bind or something. But not too surprised about that. Stamont seems like they want to really actually give him the innings. He could probably come up. Well, I don't know if he'd come up, but, you know, they could probably go with using this year to use him in short relief and see if they can get him into the big leagues. But I think they also still think that his best value is as a starter. And so if you send him to the minor leagues, you know, right now you're trying to stretch out Jason Hamill and figure out between Chris Young and Travis Wood and Nate Carnes, you know, who's going to be that fifth starter. You want to keep getting a look at Vargas, see how deep he can get into games. You want to get, you know, Ian Kennedy up to speed and Duffy whenever he ends up back from the WBC, you know, you want to get him ready too. So the innings weren't going to be there. Plus, you've got all these bullpen battles to kind of worry about. So Stamont wasn't going to factor into that as much. But I am a little surprised about Zimmer just because it seemed like they were ready to kind of give him a look. And it was kind of disappointing because on Saturday or Sunday, he was throwing for the second time. And he pitched one inning. And they didn't bring him out for a second inning. And they said that, okay, they wanted to get a look at, you know, a bunch of pitchers in that game. But I, you know, we talked about last time, you know, looking at his velocity from the first inning to the second inning in his first appearance and how there was a drop off and how that was, you know, something that happened last year when he was throwing in spring training and once the season started. So I really wanted to see that second inning and it didn't happen. So I kind of felt like they'd maybe keep him up to give him another look like that, if it was indeed planned that he was only going to go out and throw the one inning. And it was only like 10 pitches in the inning. So it's not like he got worked and they took him out after a high-stress inning. It was super quick. So that was kind of surprising. I figured maybe one more turn. But at the same time in the minor league camps, you know, he can definitely get the innings, and like Stamont, they do feel like he still can be used as a starter. They don't have to start thinking about the bullpen yet. Plus, they have plenty of bullpen arms that they could use to, you know, to end up trying out, that they don't need to use Zimmer. They can give him time to develop as he needs to and make sure that he's healthy, that he's not going to push himself and at least push himself too hard and do all that. So I guess I kind of get it. I figured he would have stuck around a little bit later, but, you know, if they're going to put him on a plan where they want to start getting him into the third or fourth inning on some of these games, then, you know, then I guess that makes sense. So, you know, and for the record, in the second appearance, that one inning from Zimmer. He was around 92, 93. Ned Yost said he hit 95. Pitch Effects disagreed. Like the fastest pitch Pitch Effects had was 93.3 or 93.5 or something like that, which is, you know, for third inning of work, all right, that's okay. You know, at least it wasn't coming out and throwing 88, 89. So that was progress as much as it can be for Kyle Zimmer, where it's still really weird and murky and unknown with kind of how he's going to respond after his thoracic outlet surgery.
Yeah, I can show you one person who's not too hopeful, but
well, yeah,
you know, it's me. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
it is a little, you know, Staumont and Zimmer were the biggest names, obviously, from that group. And seeing them both go down, I think at this point, you know, Zimmer, it wasn't all too, because him needing more time, you know, specifically, like you said, to seeing how he'll react from the surgery, you know, and I think, you know, it might be something too that's a benefit to, or it's an attempt to be beneficial to Zimmer, where you say, okay, you know, moving you to down to the minor league camp, if for nothing else, you know, there's less pressure down there. Like,
yeah,
Kyle Zimmer has, for someone who's pitched, you know, 50 innings in his career, however many it is, for the Royals, you know, he's had so much pressure heaped up on so much because there were all these expectations when he was drafted, you know, and that kind of comes with the territory. So I'm not saying, you know, to feel sorry for him or anything, but it's a reality of what he's had to deal with. So if you're the Royals and you really want him to get back to succeed, maybe saying, you know what, get away from the limelight, just go work on your business. Don't work on the radar. Yep. Don't worry about the radar gun every pitch and, you know, worry about what's saying on Twitter. Just keep it rolling, get back to being you and do it away from all the reporters and everything else, you know. So there could be some of that benefit as well. You know, that would make sense to me if that's what they were doing, at least a little bit of the factor of their decision there. But, you know, Staumont with the reviews that have been coming out of camp being, you know, majority positive and the kind of stuff that he has, seemed like he would get a little bit longer of a shot to see if he could maybe crack this roster on opening day. But I really think their plan for him is that kind of Brandon Finnegan 2014 type role, you know, looking at, you know, the way Danny Duffy started the season with the team last year, but, you know, was kind of that use as needed type of guy. So to see him be in that role where come up, you know, at some point in the season, after the season has started, and give them some high impact, high leverage innings and relief, you know, that I feel like that's the direction the Royals want to go. So knowing that, it might just be, hey, you're going to be up here at some point in time. So just because you're not starting with the team, don't worry about it. We want you to go work on your stuff. We want you to get yourself right. And just here's where you're going to have the most opportunities. And we don't have to worry about fitting you in and trying to get you in for a certain, you know, one or two innings in a particular game, when we're also trying to get all these players who we know are starting the season, trying to get them innings as well. So, you know, I imagine the thought process was something like that, where, hey, just go someplace where you can focus and the staff can be focused on you, and you can get yourself ready to go for when we will need you, even though that may not be opening day.
That makes sense. And it's like with all of these guys, they've, you know, it's not like they've pitched in the big leagues and got sent back down. It's like they're still all working their way up. Staumont, you know, was AA guy last year, and Zimmer, same. I keep thinking he pitched in the playoffs for Omaha for a couple of times, but I just don't. Maybe I'm
You're talking about Zimmer or Staumont.
Zimmer, yeah. Maybe I'm imagining that. Mm-hmm. I'll look it up at some point. You can look it up too if you want, but I'm not going to right now. But yeah, it's not like they're guys you expected to be making the big league roster. You know, it kind of seems like at this point, if Zimmer was only going to get, about three innings, and Staumont was only going to get about three innings, that there probably wasn't any real big plan, even if they came out and blew guys away, that they would take a look at them. As opposed to someone like Miguel Almonte, who's still around, who had a couple of good outings in relief in some of these spring training games. His last time out, he gave up some hits. But, you know, considering that last year was kind of a disaster for him, to see him come out in spring training and, you know, kind of regain some of that luster that he had had a couple of years ago as a prospect, that's maybe the kind of guy that they'll take a longer look at in big league camp, because he has pitched at the big league level. He is on the 40-man roster. He's someone that, you know, has pitched in Omaha for a significant amount of time, who, you know, might be one of those guys that they bring up to fill a bullpen spot if they need to, or if they feel like he can start and he starts putting things together, then, you know, they want to have an idea, a little better idea of how he's done against big league competition, at least at the spring training level. It just gives them a little bit more of a reference point. So I would figure he probably gets a little bit extra time to kind of hang out, with the Royals in surprise, as opposed to these guys who, you know, they're pretty easy guys to cut, even if I thought maybe they'd get a longer look.
For sure. So those are kind of all the biggest news out of spring training. I mean, the only other real, I don't know if I'd say it's news, but it qualifies as such for the purposes of spring training, I suppose.
It's a thing that happened that, yes, that I didn't have to research because I spent too much time watching The Good Place on demand.
There you go. Man, you know, I watched the first episode. I was watching, I can't remember what I watched before it, but it was on. My wife went to bed and I was doing something, so I didn't change the channel immediately. And I was like, this is actually pretty good. You know, like, I haven't really been into a network television show, comedy or drama, in a while. Seems like cable is putting on the better shows recently. But, I enjoyed that. And then I watched like part of the second episode, and then I got distracted, and then I couldn't watch the rest. And so I fell off the wagon. But I keep telling my wife, I'm like, I enjoyed that first episode. You know, we should give this a shot when we have a chance. And she's like, yeah, it looks kind of funny. So
it was pretty fun. Yeah, I would give it another shot.
That's exactly what I thought at first episode. I think that's exactly what I told her. I was like, it was just fun, you know? So
yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway,
while you were doing things. Yes. While you were doing that, Ned was putting himself in his own good place, Ned Yost, getting a little kooky with the roster management, position management. I mean, I think we've had Chester Cuthbert in left field. We've had
Colon was in left.
Or Colon, sorry. Yeah. Christian Colon in left field. Alex Gordon's been moved around. We've had just all kinds of craziness going on. So of all the different players that have been kind of moved around, does this all strike you as just spring training, got to make it fit kind of kookiness? Or do you think there's anything here that the Royals are legitimately giving looks to Christian Colon to replace Alex Gordon?
Probably not on that one. When they put him in left, I was like, whatever, fine, do it. I think that's probably a pretty limited thing. Colon in left field. Cuthbert, we talked about him, and they're going to try to put him at second base more. He was playing first base today, and I think first base is probably more of a natural move to him. There's just no need to move him. Hunter Dozier was playing some first base, where he's more naturally a third baseman. I think the main thing that you might see is they've played a little bit of kind of musical chairs with Jorge Soler and Alex Gordon, and kind of putting Soler in left and Gordon in right field, which is weird because Soler is very kind of right fielder is still fairly athletic, but you know, he does have the arm that would work as a right fielder, but maybe he's more of the plotting guy you would normally see in left field. Like, Alex Gordon is not a prototypical left fielder because he approaches it in a completely different way.
Yes.
Which is kind of what made him kind of an elite guy there for a couple of years, and I think still well above average. But, you know, I think a lot of this might also be to kind of be prepared to see, okay, because you don't want Brandon Moss, who can play left field. You probably don't want him in right field. So if you need to stash him in left field for whatever reason, then you at least can get an idea now that Alex Gordon can move across into right field and play that capably, which is kind of funny in a way, because when Alex Gordon came up, I mean, obviously he has all these, you know, gold gloves in left field, but when he came back from Omaha after moving off of third base back in 2010, his first game back, he was in right field. And I think a lot of people just forget that, or maybe never even realized it. And actually the first play was an error in right field by Alex Gordon. So that's how all of that ended up starting.
And but thus ended the great right field experiment of 2011.
Pretty much. They put him in left field and he took to it. And I don't know if that's a matter of reading the ball off of the bat, because it will come off differently. You know, if you're a right-handed, if you're watching a right-handed hitter from left field and they hit the ball, it's going to be coming to left field differently than, you know, right. if it's a righty hitting it to right field.
It's going to have a little bit of a slice on it going to right field, probably.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you, as a right-hander, you're likely to pull it to left field, which means it's probably coming at a straighter angle.
Yeah.
So he's able to be more decisive. You know, makes sense.
Yeah. So if this gets them prepared to kind of get that view on the ball, then I guess it can't hurt. I mean, you get to figure it out. I would bet that, you know, Alex Gordon probably won't play a lot of right field, but, you know, at least they're prepared to do it if they needed to. You know, his arm would definitely play in right field as well. So it's just a matter of, can he pick up the angle, pick up the spin, and be comfortable out there, which I think he probably can. It's a lot different than starting a new experiment at the big league level in an outfield spot. So I think at this stage in his career, he could probably do it. The other thing is they're talking about using him in center field a little bit, which is weird, because he's really never done that. And being a guy who's into his 30s, who's had some leg injuries.
Yeah, normally you move the older players away from center field, not to center field.
That's a little strange. So I don't know. I was thinking about this on my way home from work today. And like, who's going to play more innings at their secondary position? Alex Gordon in center field or Chesler Cuthbert at second base? And I think it's probably going to be Cuthbert by two innings, because he probably plays like two innings at second base in the regular season, which is, I guess, probably my attitude to all of this position switching, is that I don't know that some of this is going to stick, just because the Royals are built so much on defense. And if the default is Gordon in left, Cuthbert at third base or wherever when he's playing, that's probably what they're most likely to do when it actually comes down to it. But, you know, this is the time to kind of work on those things and see, because the game, you know, nobody cares who wins a spring training game. I mean, you want to win them, but you don't, no one cares. So you might as well figure out if Cuthbert can play second, because you don't want to get into a position. You know, we talked about Danny Valencia a few years ago, and they just kind of threw him at second base because they wanted to get his bat in the lineup, and he could not play second base. And not long after, he was gone. So I think they at least can figure out now if Cuthbert can, you know, at least hold his own there for a little bit. He actually turned a double play in a game last week, which was weird. The weird thing about that also was it was I think it was Whit Merrifield was playing third. No, it was – it was Dozier at third. When was it? Shoot, I should know this. It was Dozier at third, Cuthbert at second, and Whit Merrifield was playing first, I think. Which is kind of all over the place. It might have been that Whit was at third and Dozier was at first, where normally you would think, it would normally be, all right, this is like Abbott and Costello. I didn't mean to screw this up so badly.
First.
Who is on first? I don't know. Where I think it would normally be like Cuthbert at third, Witt at second, and Dozier at first if you're going to put all those three and say, hey, they turned a double play.
Yeah.
You really would not have Cuthbert at second turning it that way.
No, you wouldn't.
So,
but hey, I'm glad that it happened.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at least there's that. I mean, that's not an easy part of it.
At least you can't say, well, he's never even turned a double play in spring training, because he has.
It's true. He did it. I just don't think that, you know, like we talked about last week, I just don't think he's going to get much time there. You know, they've got two capable guys who have experience playing there in Merrifield and Cologne, and maybe that makes it weird for Cuthbert and getting his bat into the lineup as much as they want to, but, you know, I think they're creatures of habit, and they're generally going to want to have the best defensive team out there as they can, and if that means that Cuthbert, who's a marginally better hitter than the other guys, has to be on the bench, I think they would live with that, you know, in most matchups.
Yes, they would. So that's kind of the big news as I've seen. Is there anything else at this point that's really kind of stuck out for spring training?
Well, let me see. Billy Burns hit a home run.
Hey, that's right.
Something. I wouldn't expect too many of those, but it's a thing that happened. I don't know. Nate Karns seemed to be throwing well. Travis Wood is throwing pretty well. So that's interesting, considering those guys are both in that fifth starter competition.
Right.
You know, Karns for a while there was on the same kind of tack where I think through his first two innings of his last start, he was well ahead of his pitch per inning pace, and it looked like he might have to go throw in the bullpen again, which is, you know, probably one of those good problems to have, I think. Then he got hit a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of playing it out, you know, just seeing what happens. It's, you know, Mondesi's hit a bunch. He seems to be hitting the ball pretty well. I still think they end up wanting to put him in Omaha just because he has options to do so. And to bring him up would also probably mean losing one of Cuthbert or Cologne. And the Royals probably can't sneak either of those guys through waivers. So I don't think that they would put them at risk of losing, put themselves at risk of losing one of those to waivers. So
no,
that's kind of my thought. I think David Leske wrote something about that too. You know, the Royals always make these decisions based on roster inventory, and it just wouldn't make sense to take a guy like Cologne or Cuthbert, who could probably start on some teams, and especially like Cuthbert, who's still really young, still has a lot of service time left, and he's cheap. He hit 12 homers last year. I think you would take someone with a really good arm at third base who has room to grow, who's making the league minimum, if you were a rebuilding team. Like, why would you not do that? So I don't think they want to expose either of those guys to any kind of potential to lose them. So it just seems like they're just going to, you know, make sure they keep everybody they want to keep and give Mondesi a chance to hit at the AAA level and make sure he's ready. And then if he's hitting 450 on May 11th, great. Then you can bring him back up. You know, then maybe you bring him up to stay. But
yeah, if he forces his way up, then that's one of them good problems.
Yeah, then you figure it out. You find what to do with him. But if you don't have to start the year with him on the big league roster, then you don't. You keep him in Omaha where you can continue to get regular work, and maybe build some confidence, work on some things, and then, you know, when he's ready, he can come up. And if he shows he's ready, then you bring him up. It's easy as that.
Easy as that.
The only other thing is it seems like the Eric Hosmer extension talks have fizzled.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
That's a really it. I mean, that's as far as it went. And now that he's playing for Team USA, who knows how much communication there's going to be about any of these contract situations. The Royals are not a team that usually do anything as far as contract talks during the season. And Eric Hosmer said that he doesn't want to worry about it during the season either. So they have till April 3rd to get an extension if they're going to do it. And my default is still that they won't.
Right.
So.
And speaking of April 3rd.
April 3rd.
I'm glad that you mentioned it. Yes, April 3rd. April 3rd, otherwise known as opening day in baseball. We will be having a Kansas City Baseball Vault meetup watch for opening day hosted by Kelly's Westport. I don't know if I say hosted, but it's going to be at Kelly's Westport.
They
will accommodate us, as they often do, as the wonderful sponsors they are. So mark it on your calendars. You obviously have opening day marked. So if you're not, if you'd like to watch the game with us fellows, you're more than welcome at Kelly's. Age appropriate, of course. Although
sure.
It's game time start is 3:10, so you know, I believe at that time, you know, kids are welcome. It's not really as raucous as say a 2014 playoff clinching party.
May have to check on that. So ask us first.
Yes.
Try to verify that, you know, if a kid comes in at whatever, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll have to double check.
Yeah. Because I used to work at Joe's Pizza, believe it or not. So it used to be okay. I remember.
I know it happens.
Because they used to have the door in between Joe's Pizza and Kelly's, and you know, people could walk back and forth, and it was no big deal. But after a certain time period, they would shut the door, and so that people couldn't walk in without going through and checking their ID first.
Right,
so
right.
Yes, we'll have to check to make sure that's the case. But that's what I was going off of.
Yeah, and it might still be that way. I've never really asked them. So
yes. It's amazing. You know, you spend the first 21 years of your life, you spend waiting to be 21. And then afterwards, you just never pay attention to anything again terms of like age limits.
No,
you know, like
done.
I never pay attention. I remember when I would see when I was like 14, I would see a cool movie trailer or preview on TV. I'd be like, please be PG-13, please be PG-13. So I'd go see it. And, now I don't even know what movies are rated anymore because I don't care.
Because who cares?
The only time is when it's made like a big deal, like that Logan that just came out. You know, it's an R-rated superhero movie because that's like a feature of it because it's so much more violent than other superhero movies in the past. So that's the only time that I ever actually pay attention to it or am aware of it. But anyway, so yes, we'll have to check on that and get back to you. So don't make any plans to bring all the kiddos out to
Kelly's.
I would
lean towards probably not, but maybe, we'll see.
Well, we will see.
But game time is 3:00 or 3:10 first pitch. The Royals are in Minnesota. It's a Monday. You don't want to go to work on a Monday anyway,
yeah.
So you should
come
to Kelly's.
Because Minnesota's an
you
awful place.
Don't want to go to Minnesota. The only problem would be if they got snowed out because baseball is weird.
That happens in Minnesota.
Yeah. Especially now that they don't play indoors.
I have a sister-in-law that lives in Minnesota, and her description of the amount of snow they get there is it's not pleasant to me, and I don't even live there. So.
Right. As we've established, you hate precipitation.
Yes. All forms of it.
All forms.
So.
So, yeah, that'll be fun.
You
know, St. Patrick's Day is coming up, so Kelly's is a good place to go for that. I would ask, if you do go to Kelly's on St. Patrick's Day, you know, please do tip them well because they work their asses off.
That's a rough day for any bartender.
Like last year, we were gonna ask them about, hey, maybe this game's going to be on. Can we bring some people out to watch? And they're like, they asked politely. They're like, could you just give us a day off? We're like, okay, that's totally fair. Cause the day after is probably a little rough for them.
Yes.
So,
so be sure to tip them well. And most importantly, have a good time. And even more importantly than that, be safe.
Absolutely.
St. Patrick's Day.
Uber cabs.
Yes.
Public transport.
Should be plenty of it going around on a day like that. Make sure to make use of it. Be responsible because we'd like you to be there and in good health for the watch party on opening day, of which we will also ask you to be safe. But
yep. I'll up at one. If you're listening and you want to come to that party and you're going to be the DD and we can verify that you are the DD – let me know. Email us at KansasCityBaseballVault@gmail.com.
Yes.
We'll find something that we can help you out with.
Yes, we can
for being responsible good citizens and friends.
Yes, some sort of way to reward you for that. So
yep.
Yes, please do it. That'd be very, very awesome for someone to do. So with that, I think we'll leave you. We have, you know, hopefully there'll be some more exciting things to talk about next week, but we're just kind of gearing towards that season, and it's getting there. We're going to have that watch party at Kelly's. It's going to be great.
Yep.
Getting every day. It's closer to baseball. The weather's getting nicer. Birds are starting to chirp. You know, eventually I'm going to write a poem, and it's going to be baseball season. So stick with us. We'll be here. Baseball season will be here before you know it, folks, and we'll have another season of Royals baseball that we will kick off at Kelly's on April 3rd. So until that day when we'll all be sharing a beer, stick with us. We'll be back next week. Until next time, thank you for stopping by. And as always, go Royals.
Thank you for listening to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. You can follow us on Twitter at KC Baseball Vault. You can also find us on Baseball Prospectus Kansas City at bpkansascity.com. You can follow BPKC on Twitter at bprokansascity. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, through Stitcher, or whatever podcast app you like. And if you have any questions, comments, or if you just want to say hi, send those emails to kansascitybaseballvault@gmail.com.